praise the Lord. Amazing grace. Save a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us here this morning. And we'd like to come to you in prayer. Father God, we just thank you again for getting us here this morning. The weather was as bad as it is. Thank you, Lord, you watched over us and protected all of us and the volunteers. And we're so ever grateful that they could make it this morning. We're wonderful volunteers, Lord, that we thank them for giving up their Saturday, even in bad weather, to come down here to serve in the name of Jesus. Father, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us. Pulled us out of the ugliness of this world, Lord. John 3:3 says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Father, we're so grateful. You said if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Father, I'm so grateful that you drew me to your Son 23 years ago. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I praise you. I worship you. I honor you. And I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died a horrible death on Calvary, that we may, just by believing, that we could be saved and have eternal relationship with God the Father. Lord, now go before us now. Bless the food that you've provided you this morning and the hands that prepared it. Thank you for all the clothes that have come in, Lord, for those that are really hurting, that need some clothes and need some physical food, Lord. Now as we're ready to give the spiritual food, we want to thank John Houston for coming in from Jackson Friends Church to be able to give the message this morning. Father, let the Holy Spirit have its way. And we give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning. I'd like to open with sharing a verse here out of the book of John, the 8th chapter. Our Lord, He did so many good things. The one thing that He did above and all the other things was to instill in us a hope. A hope for the day that we have at hand and a hope for the days ahead. And He gave us promises that were deep and challenging. The one that He spoke in John 8:12 was brought to His Jewish countrymen. And He said these words, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When He was saying these words, they were wondering, what exactly is He talking about? This light of life? This new direction? Who is this guy? Where is he from? And my message today is titled, Our Father. Our Father. Because one of the things about Jesus was He was challenged constantly on His family. Did you know that the Jewish historian, Josephus, he wrote a history back way in the time of the Lord. He said that Jesus wasn't born in a normal family. He was born out of wedlock. He was born a bastard son of one Miriam and a Roman soldier named Ben Pandera. And when the Jews here were talking with Jesus, they liked to get little digs into Jesus. They liked to say, hey, where is your father? Who are you? How do you claim to teach us? And in those questions, Jesus never flinched. He had become assured of who His Father was through time. But imagine, He shared the ugliness that many of us have shared, of not having a Father who is there for us. And at times, not ready to stand up in the crowd and say, yeah, I'm His dad. And that sometimes has given us some pretty serious scars. Some people say we got daddy issues in life. And truly, a father is meant to be a lot of things for us. What are some of the good things you can think that a father is supposed to be? Anybody? What's a father supposed to be?
A lord.
He is supposed to be a lord, a director. He is an administrator. He's somebody who's supposed to be caring for us. All of those things. What is a father supposed to be? A provider. Thank you. Anything else? What's that? Show the way to you. Be a teacher. What was that again? I see. Somebody who meets our needs, that's for sure. And as we look, we all have had an experience. Our father's been the things that we always expected them to be in everything that they did. I know that it's an interesting day as I come here. The last time I was here, I shared my testimony in coming to know the Lord and such. But today, it's kind of like the shared experience we've had of our family. What's been our experience? Well, 5 months ago on this very day, the 18th of August, my father, who made it to the ripe age of 97 years, 11 months and 2 weeks, passed away. He was very excited about that too, because he was very much focused on his world, who he was, and how great he was in many ways. And that meant that he did a lot of things in life and had a lot of talents. When people pass away, how many of you have seen some unusual things happen at the time of their passing? Some strange things that kind of make a statement to their lives. Well, when my father passed away, within hours, the very tree that he used to exercise across the yard to get in his daily jog, if you would, was taken down by a strong wind. It was a big walnut tree covered with walnuts. And in August, they're pretty big and heavy and hefty, and this tree was what you would say was a picture of health and vitality. But you know, that wind came along, snapped it right off at the ground. And it hit the chicken house. He always used to run over there and then watch chickens lean against this tree. And it hit that chicken house. It knocked down the fence. All the walnuts were everywhere. It was totally destroyed in that moment. It was gone. And it's so reflective of what my father's life was like, and that he was like that walnut tree in so many ways. Gifted and talented. He had the ability to take any chunk of metal or iron and make it into some special widget or gadget, as he was a skilled master machinist. But he didn't have love. He didn't have the characteristics of support that a father would generally have. In so many ways, he was not there for me. I never saw him at a single sporting event or really ever threw a baseball with him. He was always too absorbed in what he was doing in his work and providing role. So he did some things that were very positive. But when that walnut tree came down, you could see that in its youth, it had been scarred. It had some rot in that core that caused that weakness, that when that wind blew that day, it took it down, snapped it off. And I thought, whoa. After I started to clean up the mess, I said, this is really symbolic of my father. When he was young, there were things that happened in his home that caused some deep scars. And they were never properly dealt with. And so it became a weak spot for him, a spot of rot, if you will. And a lot of people relate to a term called narcissism and such. But he was caught up in that scarred thing where he continued on through life being a harsh taskmaster and a rough character. And when I came to know the Lord, I was so refreshed because he gave me a fresh start. He knew about these family conflicts, and he said, basically, in life, you have a choice that you can make along the way. The situation of whether you're going to be a light or whether you're going to continue in darkness. When he says, I am the light of the world, and he gives us the ability to become lights, he goes through that turmoil of what is our family like? Who are we? And he got hit up by this crowd here many times, and that they were saying to him over and over again things such as, we are not illegitimate children, kind of like, you don't know who your father is. You were born out of wedlock. You. And they were trying to put him down. And they even said such things in John chapter 8. This is in the 48th verse. Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan? A Samaritan, if you would know, they lived in the area there around Jerusalem, Samaria. And they basically were left behind when the captivity took place of the Jews, 500 B.C., and they intermarried with the locals. And so they were considered not true-blooded Jews, half-breeds, and looked down upon by all the Jewish people. They would travel all the way around their property, their territory, just to stay away from the half-breeds, the Samaritans. And so here the Jewish people are saying, you're a half-breed. You are a half-breed. And on top of that, they said, demon-possessed. They were being pretty rough on Jesus that day. But Jesus was right back at Adam saying, hey, I know who my father is. And if you knew my father, you'd be set free. And they couldn't quite handle that. They thought that they were free because they were sons of Abraham and had the law and had Moses and did everything right and had the great houses and all the other stuff of life of that time. They were doing well. God's people. Chosen. But the truth of the matter was that they were supposed to be a light for the rest of the world. They were supposed to carry a message of God's love and His paternity to everybody. We share a common bond here today through Jesus Christ. If we believe in Him, our Father art in heaven. How about that? Our Father. In our Father, when you list those good things of being a teacher, being a guide, being a provider, He's all of those things. And He wants to work in and through our situations, no matter how they be today. And so as you process what's going on, as we process what's going on, we know that the Lord is going to be able to take us to places greater than where we are now because He gives us hope. He gives us hope and He gives us encouragement. He says, whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I don't know how many of you feel like you're in bondage today, like the song was singing and such, but Jesus is the only one that can really set us free from the things of life that bind us and seek to destroy. He said to these Jewish people, these Jewish countrymen, you're of your father the devil. The darkness has a hold on you that's destructive. And I am the light of the world, in whom the Son, basically he's talking of himself, sets free. You can be free indeed. The whole process of that, though, is one of abiding in Him. Staying in Him through the course of our lives. Through the challenges of the day. Whether it be a snowstorm or whether it be rain. Ugliness of challenges that we face in our daily struggle. He wants to be there with and walk alongside. Basically, it's our awareness that needs to change because He's there in the situations of our life that seem to be so dark, so demonic, if you will. And He is one who can liberate and redeem the time as He has. He sacrificed Himself to redeem us to make us bonded together as a family who claim one Father. So as we look at the Scriptures, we see over and over again, the Lord is the one who gives us insight into how our Heavenly Father is towards us as individuals. Whatever we've been written as far as our earthly situation, whether we know our Father or we don't. I really never knew my Father because he just had a picture that he wanted to present, and that was as far as you could go with him. He really didn't let himself be vulnerable. He never let that rot get dealt with in his core. And that tree that went down that very day that he died, that was its downfall. Tragic as it was. And so when I'm here today with you, I want you to remember, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've gone through, you can tie into a Father in heaven through Jesus Christ who can take and deal with those hurts, heartaches, disappointments, letdowns that you've had from earthly situations of your Father here and what he was or what he wasn't. And you can claim a Heavenly Father who is all that and more. Jesus is willing to share. And Philip is one disciple at the time when he was last sharing with him in John chapter 14 said, "Oh, Jesus, just show us the Father and that'll be enough." And Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you so long? Everything I do shows you the Father. This is how he is. This is what his heart is about. This is how he loves you. With you. Day in, day out. Walking beside you. Helping you get through things." Philip, if you recall, was a real bean counter. He wanted to get things right out there and counted. "How are we going to feed these people?" Jesus said. He says, "Lord, even if we had wages from years' work, we couldn't afford to buy this bread." This Philip was the same one who said, "Show us the Father." We all have different personalities. Jesus honors that. He wants to come and bring us along to the next step. And as we open up, he continues to step up. It's a progressive thing where he reveals himself as we continue to trust in him. So I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to think of those things which are right, pure, worthy of thought, and be thankful. Because in those things, God is going to continue to use and work through these situations. I know that it was really weird when my father passed away, that within those hours that followed, this tremendous wind blew across and took down that tree right where he would walk. That tree that was so exemplary of his life and how he had shared his life or not shared the important parts that he could have, that would have possibly changed that testimony, that witness of his life. When my mother passed away, I had one of those things called a text that was not intended to be sent from one phone to another. That was a text that, as I looked at it within moments of her passing, it was one of glee of being in the presence of the Lord and dancing. It just said simply over and over again, in, And I remember my mother talking about walking with the Lord in the garden and all of that. And her dancing in the presence of the Lord was just such a picture of what that text was and how the things unveiled after her death. What a joyous transition for her. And I hope that my dad is what you would say a spiritual streaker in heaven. You know what those are? You don't know what a spiritual streaker is? Without many clothes on, huh? Yeah. Well, when he was in his latter days, he was in a hospital bed and going downhill fast. I was sharing with him how Jesus is going to look when he gets there and that he better recognize him and he better acknowledge him as Lord, because my father was an atheist. He was very staunch in his denial of God. But God had many times reached out and touched his life and preserved him in those 97 years. But he didn't acknowledge that. He kept dismissing it, even though he one time said, the odds of this happening were beyond measure, like beyond winning the lottery as far as all those things that happen today. He recognized those things, but even the inexplicable, he would not point a finger to that which was God's hand. And in these last days or last hours that he had, I witnessed to him. I shared the scriptures. I said, when you get there and you see him, my Lord and my God, that's the right response. That's the way Thomas read it when he said, I don't think he's raised from the dead. And Jesus said, hey, Thomas, you doubted. Now you got to go to the next level. Come over here and touch. Feel this nail print. Put your hand to my side. Believe. Blessed are you, Thomas, because you believe, seeing and touching. And when my father got to his presence, which we're all going to get there, and faced that glorious being that John in Revelation says melted him right to the floor, and he even knew him and walked with him and fellowshiped with him, but when he saw him in his glorified state in Revelation 1, he said, whoa, I'm undone. I'm melted here. And my father, when he went there, I hope he said, my Lord, my God, because in that I know the grace of Jesus is so great that he would grant him that helmet of salvation. He wouldn't have any of the other trappings of that attire Paul talks about, so he would be a spiritual streaker when you get there. He wouldn't have anything else as far as the breastplate of righteousness or the shoes shod with the gospel or the sword of truth or the shield of faith. He wouldn't have any of those trappings, but the helmet of salvation. That's the thing that Jesus is willing to give so freely for those who just believe, who call on his name. And I just encourage you that as you think about where you stand and what you have to face, remember to pray. Have a word with God, whether it's a word which you have of frustration in your situation or thanksgiving and something that seems like it's not a very good thing to be thankful for. God honors those prayers and he will meet you where you are and he is there wherever you find yourself. There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. And as Paul said that, he knew that because he'd been in a few pits in his life. And so as we go through these different times and situations, I hope that you go beyond that situation of potentially being a spiritual streaker and walk a walk in which you get closer to the Lord by trying to abide in him. Wherever you are, trying to seek his spirit flow through you to love the others that are a part of your family. Because truly, if you believe, and these others around believe, our Father is in heaven. And we are united and have the true blue blood, if you will, or whatever blood it is of the Lord. He shed it for us. He shares life with us. That's the one thing that we see in his challenge to his disciples on his very day before he was taken and arrested. The very day that he was arrested, he said, abide in me. And if I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. And that whole thing of fruit is just small things of lives you touch, smiles you share, people you encourage. It's becoming the light in your situation, your place, your level. And when we get there, we're going to share a common banquet table with any other person who has been so wise as to see the grace of God and lay hold of it. Take hold of it and say, yes, Lord, I want to be with you today in paradise. I want to go along with you and take this ride to glory. Holy Spirit, teach me in the ways. Teach me in the life. Lead me in the path. It may not always make worldly sense. My dad was all about worldly sense. But in the end, I can tell you many, many examples of how worldly sense is not with him now. It has not served him well. And if he had taken the time to get more Jesus sense, Oh, what a peace it would have given me, and what a glorious hope it would have given him. A hope that we all can lay hold of today. So I just really encourage you, as you think about our Father, you remember it's a shared experience that we all have opportunity to lay hold of. There's the contrast here in John chapter 8. If you get a chance, grab one of those Bibles and read through John chapter 8. You'll see how tough the constituents of Jesus were on him and how they condemned him as being one who couldn't show them his Father and one who was illegitimate and a Samaritan and demon-possessed. They were tough, but he said in the end, before Abraham was, I am. They knew what that was talking about, that he was God and he was showing the way, the truth, and the life. As we talk about John, the book, we look at the times and the situations and what claims he made. I am the way, the reality, and the life. He made those claims of the light of the world being the true reality. And he backed him up by following through with everything that he was challenged on. And he actually has carried through to our day in all the technological revelations and revolutions and all the other things we got of science and technology. His truth still steps right into time and space and reveals itself in a way that no technology can do, because he is the living God. And he has a plan to redeem us and step back into our lives again. So I just encourage you, as far as today, to pray, to come back and get healing for any of those betrayals or daddy issues or growing pains that we've had in our families, feelings of being excluded, looked down upon, fingers pointed at us, and snickers from the crowd. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, there's that Jesus, that bastard son. That's what they used to say about him. He just said, boy, if you knew my Father, your lives would be different, folks. And that's our challenge today, to know him, and we will know the Father. We will know our Father, and we will have his Spirit. So I hope you all are hungry for the Word and a deeper look. Get a hold of one of those Bibles. Look up John chapter 8. Understand the struggle and strife. Jesus will see that you're fed, nourished, and strengthened each and every day as he rewards those who have faith. He will reward you also in that walk. You have the promises. And so, if you need prayer, receive prayer. We're here to pray with you. We're here to encourage you. And we know that God's Holy Spirit is here to touch, heal, and set you closer to our Father. So, appreciate your attention. And I really want you to know that he said those words so that you'd take them to heart. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person here in this room, and I pray that we would be a fellowship of family, claiming our Father as our uniting focus of life, not only now, but throughout eternity. By your grace, we come into your service by faith and just loving one another and walking in your direction and guidance by your Spirit. We thank you for this day and the challenges it brings, whether it be weather-related or whether it be some other challenge, relationally or physically. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the guidance that we need to make it through that challenge. I pray for these men and women, that they would come closer to you and realize it's just a small step on our side to realize that you are already present and wanting to embrace us on your side.
I thank you for this. I ask your blessing on food, fellowship, and direction. As we give you all the glory and honor, we pray, Lord, for anyone who needs specific prayer to just step forward and receive that blessing. As we release our father issues and anything else in life to your hands, to your healing, as you become our true Father, as you stepped up in Jesus' life, step up in ours. We thank you for all these things and ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're excused.